Get ready. Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is almost here. It's Black Friday in July, and it's coming your way. For 5 days only, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Plus amazing doorbuster deals and free shipping on everything. Yes, everything right to your door. So mark your calendars. Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale starts July 24th. Shop everything home at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Well, we're here with the one and only Nintendo fangirl. Thank you so much for being here today. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
I feel like we should have gotten you on way sooner. Why didn't
we? Okay. I've been listening. I've been watching.
Okay.
I wasn't expecting an invite, so I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah, we actually saw each other relatively soon because we met up at PAX East just a few months ago. You were like on the world's like biggest travel boomerang. You were like at PAX East and you went to Epic Universe to see the opening of Donkey Kong World, right?
That was a hectic weekend for me. I was at PAX East on Thursday. I was at Epic Universe going to see Donkey Kong Country on Friday, and then I was back at PAX East on Saturday.
That's right. Yeah. Oh my goodness. It's busy. That's crazy. But you've been like living and breathing the Donkey Kong-ness.
I really have, yeah.
Because you went to the opening, which looked amazing. Mm-hmm. And then recently you were able to go to an event where you got to like get a pretty decent, I'm assuming a pretty decent chunk of hands-on time with the game. So yeah, I really wanted to talk. I'm really excited about this game, but I haven't gotten a chance to play it myself. So I want to hear all the things that you thought of it. And I definitely trust your opinion. So I'm sure whatever you thought of it is pretty close to what I would think of it too. So yeah, excited to hear about this.
Oh, I'm excited to talk about it. It was great.
Yeah. So this was one of those like Nintendo behind closed doors secret events that, I've planned many of with you guys in the past, but you went to this recently. Just give us a little like rundown of what one of those events is like as a, you know, like a Nintendo ambassador.
Yeah. So some of them are more kind of ambassador event oriented, and some of them are a little more press oriented, you know.
Right.
This one was probably a little more on the press oriented side. But
so
it was basically an opportunity to get hands-on time behind closed doors, like you said, with Donkey Kong Bonanza. They do always decorate the room a little fun. You know, we've got like big standees of different Donkey Kong Bonanza characters.
Oh, that's so cool. I saw a photo that you took. Yeah.
Yep.
Very cute like photo.
The big stand with the logo and Donkey Kong and Pauline. And just like enough TV stations and few enough people in there at a time that it is really one-on-one, you and Donkey Kong. And I got to play for, I want to say about 90 minutes. So I did get a good chunk of the game. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, they do these events. This kind of acts as like the preview coverage if people know the cycle of stuff for most Nintendo games. And yeah, the preview stuff, the marketing for this game is like right on time. They did the big announcement, obviously. They did the big Donkey Kong title direct just about a week and change ago. And then they had you guys out and the press, of course, to play a chunk of the game. Would you say that this was sort of like the beginning of the game, or did you have multiple save files? Like what kind of hands-on were you getting here?
Yeah, we had a few save files. So we did get the beginning of the game. So the whole kind of, I think it's the demo experience, but I haven't gone hands-on with the demo either.
Okay. So the one they were showing in April, maybe?
No, the one that they have in stores.
Oh,
actually,
in stores.
Yes, also what they showed in April, though.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Where it starts with DK punching through the wall, and then it gets up through like learning all of the mechanics and getting your first Banandium gem. And we actually did not play through the, like the big cutscenes where you meet Odd Rock and you go through all that. That was on the treehouse, so I don't feel bad that we didn't get to play it. But we didn't do that. We kind of skipped right ahead to that first layer, the lagoon layer.
Okay.
Which is also, I believe, what's in the demo. So we did we jumped right ahead to the lagoon layer. One thing that was different that we got to experience was we got to go straight through the part where Odd Rock becomes Pauline, where we find that Odd Rock was Pauline all along. So in the direct, they show it a lot. They show huge chunks of it, but there's a good amount of lead up to that mm-hmm. that isn't shown in the direct that we got to experience. Okay. And it was really nice. And then we also got to go, I think it's called the Forest Layer, but I'm not 100% sure on the naming, but the layer with Ostrich Bonanza Donkey Kong.
The transformation. Also. Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, that's really interesting what you were just saying about sort of the progression of Odd Rock becoming Pauline. Obviously, that was one of the big reveals during the direct, mm-hmm. and it was, you know, rumored and leaked a little bit as well before that. But I think the confirmation of it being actually like a teenage Pauline was so exciting. I definitely was like super, yeah. super excited about that. And she's so cute.
She's adorable. I love her.
Yeah. Yeah. So you were saying like, the sort of the progression of the game, though, you do start mm-hmm. with it, you know, being Odd Rock, and then you play with Odd Rock for a portion of the game before Pauline is sort of like revealed to you. Is that right?
Yep. Yep. So the parts with Odd Rock and the parts with Pauline are not drastically different, but there are differences because Pauline does chime in on different things that you do. And she doesn't do that so much when she's trapped in rock form.
Yeah.
There's also a couple like really cute little things, like when you go to take a little nap in your abode to refill your hearts, mm-hmm. Pauline will actually prompt cute little conversations with Donkey Kong. I say with Donkey Kong, but it's mostly Pauline talking at Donkey Kong.
Yeah, Donkey Kong goes, she's like, blah, blah, blah.
But it's adorable. You get nice little flavor text in those moments. You get to learn little bits about Pauline and her personality. She's great.
Yeah, that's like the best part about some of these newer Nintendo games, I think, where you just get a little bit more of sort of a backstory around some of these characters. Mm-hmm. We've known of Pauline for like probably our whole lives, I feel like. And we've seen her obviously in many different forms, and maybe we saw the most of her personality than we've ever have in Odyssey, but getting a chance to see her as a younger, you know, her younger self, and hearing that there is a lot of personality around that character. She's just not sort of the silent sidekick, you know, she's really like, mm-hmm. you know, part of the main story, part of the main character for the story. That's really cool. So I'm excited that you were feeling that way about the game.
Yep.
So there were so many things that they showed in that Nintendo Direct, a lot of different kinds of gameplay mechanics and things like that. What was it that you were able to experience during the hands-on? Did you try out like a lot of Donkey Kong's moves, and like mm-hmm. what do the game mechanics feel like?
Well, a lot of Donkey Kong's moves are you just have access to them right off the bat, you know? Okay. And there's a lot. Like there's just a lot you can do with Donkey Kong. Every like up, B down, B punch up, punch down, punch sideways, punch, rock jump, throw rock, spin rock, swing rock. Like there's so many things that you can do that I can say confidently that by the end of playing for 90 minutes, I still feel like I could have gotten a better handle on the controls, which isn't really a bad thing. In some ways, it's like, well, does that mean they're not intuitive enough? I don't think that's the case. It's just that I found myself punching a lot more instead of like doing some of the cool stuff or mm-hmm. sliding around on a rock or things like that. I think it's amazing how many things you can do, actually. And I just go back to thinking about the tricks that people do in like Mario Odyssey, I also barely ever did because I couldn't get a handle on them. But imagine that like tenfold with Donkey Kong Bonanza. That's what it feels like, because there's so many different things that you can do and so many ways to get around and so many ways to get through enemies or little puzzle elements and things like that. And it feels good. It feels smooth. It feels pretty like intuitive across the mm-hmm. board. So all around good on controls. Yeah,
that was the sense that I got when I saw the layers and layers of controls. Mm-hmm. with Donkey Kong that we saw in the direct, it was like, and then you can do this, and then you, and it just kept going. Yeah. The list just was like, I was like, oh man, how long is this checklist of things that you can do with DK? And it seems like just very in depth. And Yeah, I was wondering the same thing maybe as you were experiencing is like, how intuitive is it for you to get a handle on all of these controls? It does sound like maybe there's some that you're using more than others to traverse the world. And I'm totally sure, and I'm sure you're like this way too. It's like, yeah, once people get their hands on the game, someone's going to find some crazy combo that they can do to get to a place that no one ever thought that they could get to. There's going to be some, you know, Breath of the Wild level exploration happening with someone's clever way of chaining together all the different moves, which is fun and exciting to think about, because I get that there's a lot of sense of discovery. But I'm with you though. I'm like, sometimes I know I'm not good enough to actually do all of those things, but I like to watch other people do it.
Yeah,
like,
a lot of
times I'm like, yeah, that good for you. That looks hard.
Yep. Yeah. But it's like, there's just something like so cathartic about just break the terrain all over. Yeah. Everything that you can break, you can break. Like it's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically the whole world is destructible. Does it, like, what if you make a mistake? Like, what if you're like, oh shoot, I shouldn't have broken that. I need that to jump somewhere or do something.
I think there's just enough like fail safes involved in terms of like undestructible world that you'd be able to return or climb out of wherever you need to climb out of.
Yeah.
There's also the teleport system, which you can trigger from anywhere. So if you actually get stuck somewhere, you can just call your little eel buddy to come bring you back to a checkpoint. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, interesting. Yeah. If you like dig your way into some sort of like game breaking or whatever, but you didn't experience that.
I didn't experience anything
to
like
have
that.
Progression as well as kind of feel like you're, you know, just destroying the world around you.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I'm sure there were tons of like fun surprises and discoveries. Mm-hmm. As you played through that hands-on experience, were there any that really stood out to you?
Mm-hmm. I have one specific one. And I have a feeling this is going to be in a lot of people's preview footage, but I guess we'll see how many people got to it.
Nice.
There was, so you know that the world has these challenges that you can kind of open up with Pauline singing. So Pauline does her little, and it opens it up and you get to enter a challenge. And a bunch of them are really cool, but there was one that specifically was a 2D side-scrolling, very classic Donkey Kong Country-styled gameplay.
Oh,
and
so
they were
cool.
Playing Stickerbush Symphony from Donkey Kong Country 2, I believe, which is just like an amazing classic song. It just felt like, oh, like this is Donkey Kong for everybody, because 2D Donkey Kong fans obviously loved the Donkey Kong Country games, because who doesn't?
Yeah,
but
of course.
It just was so classic Donkey Kong on top of classic 3D Donkey Kong. Like, it just is layered all of the goodness all together.
Yeah.
So that was my like favorite moment, I think.
Yeah, they showed a bunch of those little challenges and they all looked a little different. But I do remember seeing one that was very much classic Donkey Kong. I wondered what kind of feeling you would get playing that, if they could capture that like nostalgic, you know, very classic feeling of the Donkey Kong Country games. It's kind of nice that they did a little homage to that through these challenges, and glad to hear that the music was there as well, because that's such a big part of what made the Donkey Kong Country games so amazing. Is like, I can still hear the music in my head even years later. Like I sometimes like randomly still hum the songs in my head and stuff like that. So it is like a very like sticky kind of thing that I'm sure a lot of people will have a lot of memories of. So that's really cool that they put that in the game.
Yep.
Did Donkey Kong, like, what are the, I guess back to the controls a little bit, because we were talking about, you know, the world being so destructible, and we're talking about, you know, what's really cool about 3D Donkey Kong games, or just Donkey Kong games in general, is that Donkey Kong feels like such a different character than, say, a Mario. You know, Mario is so acrobatic, and Mario is very, like, you know, floaty and jumpy, and Donkey Kong's the opposite. He's so powerful, and there's, like, this weightiness to Donkey Kong, and obviously that plays out with the world being destructible. But how did you kind of, what was the feeling of controlling the DK character? And like, did it give you that sense of oh yeah, this is a totally different character than, say, controlling a Mario in a 3D Mario game.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you kind of nailed it when you said it feels more weighty. He feels more weighty. Yeah. And in fact, one of my first questions was, is there fall damage? And and they were like, no, he's Donkey Kong.
He's not.
Yeah. And so falling from any height, but depending on what material you land on, Donkey Kong really does like slam and create a crater into the ground.
Wow.
So it feels good, like the physics feel good all around, and he does feel strong. And I will say also, the different materials like are so notably different in how they interact with each other. So mm-hmm. when you pick up a rock and you throw it at something, you know that it's going to react in a certain way, as opposed to when you pick up what they call them, boom rock, or the dynamite sparking rock, you know, right. that's going to create an explosion when you throw it. Or if you pick up a chunk of soft sand and you throw that, you know, mm-hmm. it's going to be like a little squished when it hits,
yeah.
when it hits something. So it's not only that, like, the Donkey Kong physics are good, they are, but it's the whole world physics mm-hmm. are really strong. Yeah.
Wow. That's really good to hear. 'Cause there's so many options of what you can yeah. do with Donkey Kong and like what he's doing in the world that require that kind of, I don't know, it's like a vibe where like you just have to get the feeling right. It's just even hard to describe, you know, but when you pick up those controls, you really want to feel like, yeah, I'm controlling this like big, powerful character that's going to be, he has an effect on like the world around yeah. him. So that's great that you felt like the physics were really good throughout.
Yeah.
What was the, the Pauline, is there any controls with Pauline, or is it just she's kind of passively sitting on his shoulders or singing? Like what was the kind of playability of Pauline?
Yeah, at least as far as I got, her only playability is singing to unlock the little void covered bits. However, different for the two-player co-op. So we actually right. did play that a little bit.
Oh, cool. How'd you like that?
I liked it. So I played as Pauline. So I was the one with the mouse control Joy-Cons as Pauline.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It was good. It was very effective. Like, you could really feel like you were controlling the cursor correctly with mouse controls. I will say that it does kind of put the game into easy mode because you can really spam throwing stuff with Pauline, like throwing rocks specifically, and that does a lot of damage to a lot of stuff. So we did like the boss fight while I was playing as Pauline in the two-player co-op, and we literally did beat the boss in like 15 seconds.
Oh my goodness. So okay,
it's worth a note. I mean, I think it'd be great for kids.
Right.
I also think you don't have to play it the way that I was playing it, where I was just spamming rocks with Pauline. Well, that's the thing, is when you yeah. watch like the preview footage and when you watch the direct, anytime that they show it, Pauline is like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But you can just, yeah, 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 yeah. You can just nonstop throw things. And it's strong because it's the same as Donkey Kong throwing a rock, except it's Pauline throwing five in a second.
Oh, okay. Crazy. It's like volume yeah. versus power.
Yes. There is like still that kind of puzzle element though, because Pauline can copy materials. So she can copy like an explosive rock and then throw the explosive rock for a limited amount of times. I think it's like five or six.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. So if there's like a puzzle element, if there's concrete, you can't break as easily with certain okay. materials. So you would see concrete or you would see metal or something and say, oh, I need to copy some other concrete, or I need to copy a boom rock or mm-hmm. Something like that in order to throw it. So there is that still. And I will say right. also that I was playing on one of those early layers with Pauline. So it's right. very possible it's not as broken in the later layers, but
right. yeah.
it felt that early on.
Early on, I'm sure you're like, oh, I'm so powerful. Like, yeah. I can just bust through these bosses, especially mm-hmm. if you're doing the co-op, the two-player mode. It is cool that they gave that it's not like a true co-op, you know, where like everyone is controlling their own Donkey Kong, obviously. But it is nice that they gave Pauline some balance of like, mm-hmm. okay, she can still attack a little bit and do things, obviously different than what you're doing with the main character that's Donkey Kong. But sometimes I feel like Nintendo does that thing where it's a little bit of a cop out, where it's like, you just gather the galaxy crystals.
The galaxy. That's like the standard of theirs.
I know.
The galaxy crystals. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, well, maybe you can do a little bit more than that. Just, you know, just a touch more than gathering the galaxy crystals.
It's still fun. I just think it's probably, it won't feel like, if you really want to have a two-player co-op experience, it still does kind of feel like a one-player game with
like a little assistant.
Yeah.
An assist. Cappy too, that when you were able to control Cappy in Odyssey, I feel like that was always the role of like the assist player. Like Nintendo's definitely thinking like somebody's kid would want to play that secondary character.
It might be fun with the game chat. I was thinking, I wonder if you could invent like a sabotage version of the game where Pauline's job is to not help Donkey Kong. I bet you could do something with that. I don't know.
Oh my gosh. That sounds like a video that we need to make after the game comes
out. Okay,
yeah. I won't game chat you and I'll sabotage you. You can Donkey Kong.
Prevent Donkey Kong from perfect. Succeeding. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I love it. We can just make our own stuff. Yeah, I love it. Any concerns from any of the stuff that you played, whether you were like, I don't like this, or I wish this was better? Any sort of like, ooh, I'm not sure about this area? Anything like that pop up?
Honestly, no. I was really happy with pretty much everything. One concern I had going into it was kind of a similar concern that I had with Odyssey, which is that I really was hoping none of the worlds would feel too open, too kind of like barren in areas. And also, on the same note, except slightly different for Donkey Kong, I'm hoping that there's not big chunks of like land where I feel compelled to destroy them just to find that there's nothing there.
So you don't kind want to of dig similar. For like 20 minutes and then be like, oh, I'm supposed to do that.
I didn't experience that, but also like it's possible that that exists in the other layers that I didn't go to. From what I could tell, they really like jam packed the ground with like little pockets of cool treasure chests and you know, those fossils are really fun to find and rewarding to find. That's what you use to get different clothing and fur colors for Donkey Kong and Pauline. The collectibles I was really happy with. I don't have any major complaints at all, or even minor complaints at all right now. It was really good all around.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear, because I was wondering the same thing when you think about like a like an exploration based, you know, maybe a more open world exploration based Donkey Kong game. It's like any other game like this. It's like you need to incentivize the player to feel that they want to explore, you know, versus it being like, well, you built this big world, but kind of I'm not interested in like really playing in it. So glad to hear that you didn't get that sense. So basically how it's not truly like open, obviously, because it's in like these layered. And like it's almost like each level is a layer. And then I'm getting the sense that you kind of explore that layer, do the things that you need to do there, fight a boss, and then it unlocks the next layer below. Is that kind of how it works?
So my understanding, we did kind of jump around a little, which makes it a little harder to track, but my understanding is actually, so there's layers and there's sublayers. So the layers do kind of act, my brain keeps going back actually to Luigi's Mansion 3. So they kind of act like somehow you go down a layer and you're in an entirely different world. Like you've got entirely new atmosphere, new types of NPCs, new moves, you know, new boss battles, stuff like that. But there are definitely, again, from my understanding, there are sub-layers. So, for example, we were in the lagoon layer, the one with all of the water, which was the one, it's the one that they showed in the treehouse. And it's also the one that I believe you can experience if you go to play the demo at a retail store. So the lagoon layer, and I don't know if you can do this in the retail demo. I think you might not be able to. But early on, you unlock what is called a void stake, which is basically a plug in the ground. And I believe there's a bunch of them. So you unlock a void stake, you break the void stake, or you unlock it, and it comes out of the ground, and oh, there's a big hole down there. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So you jump in, and then that brings you to another sub layer, which is the same kind of styling as the previous one, but there's more down there. So that's how they kind of make these worlds big, is that each layer seems to have these sub layers.
Right. And you're kind of discovering those as you like explore around that.
And you can go up and down between the sub layers, I believe. And you can teleport between them too. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Did the world feel big?
Oh, like, it did.
It did. It felt vast. Like there was a lot to explore.
It's a little bit like big in the sense that it's super dense. It is big. Like I didn't go to the edge of the floating island on any of the levels that I went to. But also there's so much just like packed in each little section of each world. So there's all of those little challenges. There's NPCs, there's shops, there's stuff in the ground, there's stuff in the sky, stuff that'll shoot you across the map. There's a lot in there. Yeah.
How did you find the game's like difficulty? Sometimes 2D Donkey Kong games can be quite challenging. Did you find this one to be okay? Or was it, unless you're spamming Pauline's rocks, but did you generally feel like it was pretty balanced in terms of difficulty?
It's funny. I'm like notoriously bad at 2D games in general.
Me too.
Including Donkey Kong games particularly. And because I was just reviewing the footage, I know for a fact I died 4 times when I was trying to do the 2D challenge. Oh, the one that I was mentioning was Stickerbush Symphony. So that part's, it feels like a 2D Donkey Kong game. It's very much the same.
It's hard. Yeah.
You can buy or find, I guess, balloons. So those will save you if you fall into a hole. They won't save you if you die from damage, but there's that. So there's one little helper there. I would say I was thinking that it was actually pretty easy in the first half of what I played in the like beginning portion and even the lagoon layer, although I did get down to like half a heart multiple times. So I don't really know why I'm saying that it was easy, because who knows? I was on the brink of death a bunch of times, but
you didn't die. You were getting through it. It felt like it wasn't like brutally like, oh my gosh, I can't get this part.
And I think the game is a little bit generous, at least in that early area where if you decide, that's my cat, sorry.
Oh, cute little tail.
The game, if you decide that you need health, you just kind of go to town on the ground and you'll probably find an apple at some point. And there you go. There's your health. Or you go back to the town and you take a nap in your little house. And that refills
your
health.
You can like teleport, like you can fast travel pretty easily between, it sounds like the town and the world, like wherever you are in the world. So
it would be okay. I will say, though, when we got to one of the later layers, the more lush foresty one, you're surrounded by poison water. There's like pricker things everywhere that deal a lot of damage, and the enemies are a lot faster and more difficult to take down. So it definitely, I wouldn't say it's like, oh my goodness, I can't handle this difficulty spike. But there's definitely a challenge to it.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
I would expect that, I think, from a Donkey Kong game. They're not super hand-holdy with how the game goes.
And I didn't try the casual mode. I don't think that's what it was named, but there's that casual
mode.
That's
true. There is a different mode, isn't there?
So if you're having trouble, I guess you could do that. I think it halves your damage. So
yeah, that's right. That's right. There was like they showed that in the direct. Yeah. And it gives you a bit more hearts and things like that. You talked a little bit about the sort of the different, I don't know if they're calling it transformations, but it's kind of like a transformation, I suppose, where Donkey Kong can transform into like other animals.
I think they're called bonanzas.
That's the bonanza part of the Donkey Kong.
I suppose so. Because it's so when you, I did get to try, but I actually got to do the whole lead up into unlocking the Kong Bonanza, which is the first one.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. It was like really? So much fun. Yeah. So you go through all, you know, this little tiny challenge where you have to bring a like vinyl disc to the big Kong elder because he's like an aspiring DJ.
So, oh my gosh, how cute.
There's yeah, like a musical. So you gotta bring him his vinyl.
That's the big elder with like the banana beard.
Yeah, and I never noticed this until I played it, although now it looks so obvious. He's got like big headphones on.
Oh, okay. I gotta go back and look.
In the background of the cutscenes that they've already shown even, he's like doing this
with his headphones. He's like jamming out. I love it. He's going to Coachella next after this. Got it. Yeah. Okay.
But like the big thing is that's where Odd Rock is shown to be Pauline in that cutscene. And Pauline is too nervous to sing. So Donkey Kong has to kind of egg her on. And it's the cutest. They have the cutest relationship ever. I wasn't expecting it, but it's just like Donkey Kong pounding on his chest to pump up Pauline and give her like the courage to sing.
Oh,
it warms my heart. It's so adorable. Yeah. It's so nice.
Such a sense of that, even in the direct, when they were showing the two of them together. It's like, I love this friendship. I love this, like, he almost has, like, a true, like, big brother energy.
Yeah, that's what it feels her. Like, yeah.
And I just, oh, my gosh, I think it's so heartwarming and sweet. And, yeah, I honestly got, like, a little tiny bit emotional, like, watching the scenes with Pauline and Donkey Kong, Pauline singing. So I'm like, this is so cute. And then we never get to see this kind of stuff with Nintendo characters, so... That's awesome that lead up felt like there was a lot of payoff. So then once you do that, then you unlock like the Bonanza, whatever.
Yeah. And it's the way they do it is really smooth. It feels good. So you pump up Pauline toes DK, and then Donkey Kong gets to get his Kong Bonanza, and he goes rawr, you know, and they showed this in the direct, he goes rawr, and then it actually launches directly into kind of the spot where DK gets to try out his Kong Bonanza.
Oh, okay.
Like a little mini tutorial on like, oh, now you can super punch through concrete and stuff like that. But what's really fun is that it goes from the cutscene of Pauline singing into that tutorial, and the song continues through that.
Oh,
so you get to
kind of
listen to that while you're punching through concrete and just get all pumped up. It's really cool.
Yeah. The music is good. The whatever songs they wrote for Pauline, at least what I heard in the direct, I thought they were all like so catchy. It was so like, I don't know, it felt like Disney Channel in the early 2000s or something, which is such a vibe. But it sounds like the music continues to be really good, and all the songs are really cute. Yeah,
yeah,
that's great. So now that you've played for 90 minutes and you've gotten a lot of time with the game, I have to ask you the most important question of all, which is,
okay,
who do you think is making this game?
Well, certainly a chunk of the Odyssey team.
Yeah,
I would be floored if that wasn't the case. It feels and looks so much like Odyssey.
Yeah.
Then again, it could have just been built off Odyssey's back.
True. Could be the Odyssey engine, and they have... Yeah, I know. I'm so curious because Nintendo, of course, doesn't want to tell us. They're being cagey about who is making this game.
Keep and the I'm talent very, secret.
I know. I'm very curious about... yeah, you know what this could be, and obviously the game sounds incredible. I'm sure you came away with it feeling even more excited to play because it sounds like you had a great time and it was awesome.
Yeah,
so obviously it's not the quality of the game that we're calling into question at all. It's just like, what does it mean for other games that this team could be making, or maybe they're making both, or maybe they just grew the team in the years that, you know, between now Odyssey and now, who knows, but so you definitely feel that it's quite Odyssey coded as you play through.
I think so, yeah. Okay. That's my take.
Interesting. Well, this was fascinating. So you will have, by the time this video is out, you will have actual footage of you playing the game. So I will link all of your stuff in the description. So everyone go and watch the actual like gameplay part of it. But this was so much fun. It was so fun to chat with you about Donkey Kong Bonanza. I'm so, you pumped me up. You gassed me up on this game.
I'm so excited.
I gotta go find a demo.
I think somewhere. Truly, I think this is going to be, well, not that there's a ton of competition right now, but I think this is going to be a lot of people's favorite Switch 2 exclusive game.
Yeah.
Off the bat, sure. Immediately. And I think it might be a lot of people's favorite Donkey Kong games. I'm not, I'm not even exaggerating. I'm pretty hype over it. Yeah.
It definitely seems to be trending that way for sure. Like it was such a, that direct was just such a, like a amazing like showcase for the game. And then of course hearing that, you know, people that played it just really love it. And it just feels as good as it looks, just bodes so well for this game. And it's so exciting that it's coming out really soon. We don't really have to wait very much longer. So
Yeah, like 2 weeks left, right?
Exactly. So it's like, oh, cool.
Very exciting.
We can just jump right over to it in a short amount of time, which is great.
Can't wait.
Yeah. Well, thank you again for being here. It was always great
Thanks
to have you.
For
we'll definitely
me.
Have to have you on more often.
I'm always around.
Awesome. Thank you.